We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Spinning is Sabonis.
Rockets gets around.
Yeah! Bloodford skies high for the jam.
Mentor.
Oh, Miles Turner bringing that smoke.
Warren lets it fly.
Yes! T.J. Warren is not human.
Well, you got it set in your face, and I think that's terrific.
What's going on, Pacer Nation? Welcome back to another episode of Setting the Pace, and I'm joined today by the one and only Michael J. Fauci. Fauci, happy Pi Day to you.
Oh, yes. You know, I want to have a slice of pie in honor of that win, because, Alex, whew, we are back. A win over the Suns, but Caris LeVert's Pacer debut couldn't have really went much better in terms of getting the dub.
Absolutely agree, and one of the most beautiful things was Sabonis got a triple-double in the game. Brogdon really played well. The bench played well. Miles Turner played well. It just seemed like a completely different team, Fletch.
It did, and that's what's never going to show up in the box score, because it felt like having LeVert in the lineup like injected life into this team. At times, the ball movement was phenomenal. It had you asking, like, who is this team? Where have they been? Because it just looked like the Pacers were clicking. I mean, the third quarter coming out from halftime, the Pacers really pounced all over Phoenix. Even the second quarter, that second and third quarter was some really good Pacer basketball, and they never looked back.
Oh, I know, and it was frustrating to watch the game before this one, because they should have beat the Lakers. There's no doubt about it. That awful fourth quarter, they started playing stupid basketball. They started speeding up how they were playing, bad passes, bad shot attempts. I said, who is this team? Like, what are we doing? Like, we were playing so good to start the first three quarters. I'm like, we're really keeping that lead, you know. The Lakers were lurking the whole time. But then you see LeVert come back. You know, everybody's excited. We're all staying up late to hear his press conference after the Lakers loss. And we knew what it was. We knew he was coming back. But, man, I tell you what, it was just awesome to see him out there. And I won't lie, when I found that news out Friday, I was absolutely stunned that he was going to be back for this game against the Suns.
Oh, my God. I was telling everybody, even people who did not care at all, I had to let them know this was must-see TV. And just having LeVert out there, I felt like, you know, I wanted to tamper my expectations. Look, it's not like this was going to be the second coming of Michael Jordan, but I knew we were going to get another playmaker on the roster, active, on the court, someone that can not have us be so predictable. And I think it went a long way because, look, he did look a little bit rusty. He did. But I thought that he came out there aggressive, second most shots on the team. And you could see the little things that he did that, unfortunately, no offense, but, you know, McDermott, Lamb, Justin Holiday, it's just – it's stuff that's not in your bag of tricks. And LeVert was able to have a pretty deep bag last night.
Oh, no, there's no doubt about it. I was thinking the same thing. I thought, man, this is a little bit rusty for him. Just, you know, but I expected that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I didn't expect anything less than a little bit of rust from Karis. But I will say that after he kind of shook that rust off in the second quarter, got a couple baskets to go there in a row, he really just started looking for his shot, kind of playing the game, but not forcing. And that's one of the things that I really wanted. But not to be like a box score watcher like crazy, but I thought it was really interesting that he was second in field goal attempts last night.
Yeah, I know. I was just mentioned before, 14 field goal attempts I thought was good because, yeah, he only played 27 minutes, so it shows that he was aggressive in that span. But it was great because I would rather in a game where the Pacers were up by as much as 20 at times to be able to get him those shots where it's not going to hurt the team. And, you know, we can't overlook that 7 rebounds. I mean, Alex, you and I have talked about nonstop how bad the Pacers rebounding has been, that it's got to be a collective effort. If you can plug in a guy like LeVert, and look, we're not going to count on 7 rebounds a game, but if he can give you 5 to 6 rebounds per game, it's going to go a long way. And just the simple fact of it, he drew attention from the defense last night, that for too long we've seen all the attention on Brogdon, all the attention on Sabonis, that LeVert just – and enables everybody to spread out a little bit more.
Yeah, it's not even the spreading out to me, Foch. It's more about just getting to the basket.
Yeah.
Because, like, Brogdon is okay at it, but he does the same reverse layup because his vertical is not that great. And he doesn't really blow by guys. He uses his strength. There's a GIF that the Pacers shared, and it's basically just him getting his shoulder into Dario Saric and getting the and one call. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you go back and you see that it's like, this is what this team is missing so much right here because they just didn't have that. You know, you're asking McDermott and Holiday to fill in for you as starters right now without LeVert. And then it just showed, like, Turner's not someone that's going to be able to take someone off the dribble. Sabonis really doesn't do that at all. And Brogdon doesn't do that at all. And then of course the guards really don't either. I mean, Aaron Holiday or Lamb might be your best option at trying to get to the basket and creating their own shot. It's just like, they don't have a lot of that, and missing him and Warren was just – we kept talking about it every week because it was so true, and then you see it. Like, he had some really nice passes, too, that I love the one that he had in the second quarter, I believe. Maybe it was the first, but he led Brogdon on, like, a long pass to start a fast break, and it's, like, just stuff like that. Like, I know a lot of people were trying to, like, downplay the fact that he's a great playmaker with us whenever we were talking about it, but I just think little things like that, just getting a guy that's bigger out there that can guard bigger wings – and get to the basket and put pressure on the defense is really going to help this team.
It really is. I mean, look, the box score is not going to show it as well, just 2 assists, but this guy is a playmaker. Like I've said it before, I remember in game 1 against the Raptors, 15 assists in last year's playoffs. There's going to be games where a ton of games where I think he'll have, you know, 6 to 10 assists. I mean, even earlier this year, I'm looking at some numbers right now. You know, 10 assists against Philly, 11 assists against Memphis, 8 assists against the Hawks. He's going to have games where he's putting up, you know, 7 assists, 8 assists. It's going to happen. And that takes so much pressure off of Brogdon because we've talked about it before. While Brogdon might average 7 assists, he's not going to be the guy that's going to get you double-digit assists back-to-back games or on a nightly basis. It's just not who he is. But LeVert just adds that playmaker we've been starving for since Oladipo was traded.
Yeah, and I think J. Michael brought this up in one of his tweets. You know, you can see Malcolm play off ball more. And that's one of the things that Malcolm was so great at in Milwaukee, and it just makes him not have as much pressure. Like, he can still get to the basket at times, you know. He's not bad at it. He's just not great at it, you know. So I think, like, if you don't have that pressure of always trying to get to the basket or always trying to create something or always have to be the reliable scorer, and you can kind of be the secondary guy, you know, I think that really helps. And I don't know if you saw, but this morning I threw a tweet out there and I said, what are your thoughts on Karis LeVert after his Pacers debut? I wanted to hear from the fans on Twitter. Got a good amount of replies, but I think the biggest point that people kept bringing up was that rebounding. And I think PJ McAllister at P.J.11 had it best. They said, you could tell his energy was such an impact. His ability to be a playmaker made it finally not feel like the Brogdon and Sabonis show for 48 minutes. Oh, and the rebounding was amazing too. I think that really is a great way to sum up just the impact that Karis LeVert has on this team.
No, he nailed it right on the head right there. I mean, it's just the players, though. They looked livelier. It's like they believed more. And it's like, that's a real thing. I mean, when you know, and you've been going through the motions and you're losing, when you get down, it's like, all right, you know, hey, it might not be tonight. But I just felt like he, like I mentioned before, injected life into this team. You saw on the free throw line when he got his first point, Sabonis cheering. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody wanted to be a part of that. Like they've been rooting him on. And it just, I don't know, it just gives the Pacers an extra pep in their step. And look, this isn't just any win. This is the Phoenix Suns that are playing really good basketball this year. To put it in perspective, they had won 14 of 16. They're second in the West. Yesterday, they had the second best record in the league. They're also one of the better defensive units, top five in points per game allowed. I mean, the Pacers were running away with this game. The box score might say we won by 11, but if the Pacers really had their foot on the gas the whole game, I think it could have been more than that. The last, you know, 5-6 minutes or so, the lead trickled down to like 9. The Pacers were in control pretty much all game, except for the first quarter.
Yeah, I was getting a little nervous there the fourth quarter just because of, you know, some PTSD from this season. And then you got like Abdul Nader dropping 14 points on the Pacers. Yeah, but I think that was, you know, a good thing because Jay Crowder was 1 of 8 for 2 points. Chris Paul was 2 of 10 for 8 points. And, I mean, excuse me, Jay Crowder was only at 2 points. He was 1 of 8. And then Frank Kaminsky had 2 points as well, and he played 13 minutes as a starter. So, you know, I was a little bit worried just because, you know, it's just the way the Pacers have been playing. And I knew LeVert wasn't going to play a ton of minutes. He ended up playing 27, which is a good amount of minutes, but – I think we can say it. Roden McDermott's back, Focci. McDermott's back.
I loved it. Look, yes, it's just one game moving him back to the bench. But the fact that he's, you know, 9 of 13, 22 points, and 26 minutes off the bench, it's like that's the McDermott that I like off the bench instead of getting kind of a little bit lost in the shuffle in the starting lineup. He can be more of a focal point with that second unit. And, you know, a game like this, I mean, you're not going to get 22 a night out of McDermott. You're not. But it just feels like LeVert in the starting lineup allows other guys to not have to do too much, not have to force shots, and be more comfortable in their roles. And McDermott was the prime example of that.
Yeah, and it was kind of nice to see Sabonis, McConnell, and McDermott back together with that second unit. They had Aaron Holiday out there last night with who was the fifth guy? Was it Sumner. Yeah, so McDermott, Sumner, Aaron Holiday, McConnell, and Sabonis. And I thought that second unit played pretty well. I hate to say it, Focci, but I didn't see anybody complaining about Sabonis' 43 minutes last night.
Not a peep about it.
And so it's like, yeah, it's like I didn't even realize he played that much until I looked at the box score. It didn't even feel like he played the whole 43 minutes. I mean, sure, I knew he was out there a while, but he was so efficient last night as well. 9 of 13, 13 rebounds, 10 assists, 22 points. Sabonis was just making things happen for everybody. And him and McDermott have such a two-man game.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was a great two-man game between them. It's known, the chemistry there. But it just felt like – I don't want to say these are like quiet triple-doubles, but I think maybe just a lot of our attention was on Caris LeVert yesterday because mm-hmm. we were all just been waiting so long. But, I mean, the starting lineup just in general – I know Justin Holiday struggled a bit, but it was a kind of quiet game for him. But, I mean, even Miles Turner played a really good game, but Sabonis just across the board in every category just played really well. And
yeah.
I just feel like that allows Sabonis not to have what we talked about before. He doesn't have to put up 20 shots or 18 shots and kind of have some of them being forced. You know, you saw Brogdon, 8 of 16. Like, these were efficient numbers. Monster, 7 of 8. Like, LeVert was the guy that was almost like, I don't want to say forcing shots, but just trying to get into a rhythm. And I think that this will allow, you know, he said this was only basically the second time he got to play 5-on-5 ball. So his legs are going to get underneath him. And I think the Pacers could be a more efficient team moving forward. Are they going to shoot 53% each time? No, they might not do that. But I just think that guys are going to be able to not force things as much.
Yeah. And I think one thing about LeVert, like, while it's all great for offense and stuff, the defensive end of things was huge last night because mm-hmm. he can guard bigger wings. Like, as much as we like McDermott, he's a guy that's not going to really be able to lock anybody down no matter the circumstance. So it's like it always feels like McDermott's a defensive liability, especially going up against starting wings in the NBA.
And we know that Phoenix has some good wings out there with Devin Booker and Mikal Bridges. So I was glad to see Caris LeVert back out there defensively. You know, everything is just rusty for him. He's going to get better. Oh, yeah. I mean, he's not even 100% himself, and everybody was so excited with his performance. The team just really stepped up their game as well. And, you know, it's funny. You said that Justin Holiday didn't have a great shooting night, but still impactful on the defensive end. Yeah. And that's what's so great about having him, Brogdon, and Caris out on the perimeter. Those guys can switch everything. And, you know, we know that, you know, Malcolm is probably the guy that's the slowest out of those three as far as, you know, switching and stuff like that. But he does great against bigger wings, I feel like. And, I mean, Sabonis had four steals last night, had a block. Turner had four blocks. I mean, and that block that Sabonis had, I believe it was on Saric, was unbelievable. So, mm-hmm. I just, you know, it's just – I think it's just more of an anomaly because you're not used to seeing Sabonis do that. But I just – I think if this team – like we talked about it a couple weeks ago, this team can get back to their defensive powers. They can really be something special. And that's what we saw with the bench unit as well from Aaron Holiday, Edmund Sumner, and TJ McConnell. Those guys were playing terrific with great energy in last night's game, even though Aaron and Edmund only played about 10 minutes combined, 10 minutes together. I mean, separately, 12 and 9 for both of them in that with that second unit.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about before how, you know, you can't let the defensive side of things be impacted by the offensive side of things when the Pacers weren't making shots, kind of, you know, holding their head down and just really, you know, getting down on themselves a bit. But it didn't seem like a surprise that when they were hitting shots, they were also doing it on both ends of the floor. And, like, last night, I mean, I tweeted out, the Pacers, they were just flowing on the offensive side.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
And the defensive side of things. There was a span in the third quarter where they just kept forcing turnovers that they were able to turn into points. And, I mean, that's how you win basketball games. The Pacers are never going to be the team to continuously light up the scoreboard and hang, you know, 130 a night on you. It's never going to happen. I mean, maybe, you know, 10 years from now when no one's playing defense at all. But for the Pacers, a large part of their wins has always been from the defensive side of things. We need to get back to that. And like we said before, Caris LeVert, he's no chop liver defender. You know, he's going to be a better defender than, you know, your McDermott's and your Jeremy Lamb. So I'm looking forward to it. It just feels like finally there's an excitement back in Pacer basketball.
Yeah, and, you know, we don't really know much about his defense because it's not talked about enough. So it made you feel like, oh, is LeVert really a good defender? It's like, I'm still trying to figure out what kind of defender he is. But I think with the size and just his basketball IQ and the way this team is ran and the way they play together, I think he'll be completely fine on the defensive end. But I want to get to a guy that was a late scratch, had a sore left knee, and that's Jeremy Lamb. Someone that was out of the rotation last night. They went with a 10-man rotation. Goga played 3 minutes, so it was more of a 9-man rotation. But I got to say, Fauci, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Jeremy Lamb at all because I like him as a person. I think his story is incredible. But just how bad he's been on defense this year, it really feels like he might be the odd man out once everybody's fully healthy.
Yeah, it's tough because for Lamb, his play when he came back from his injury was so above where it probably should have been that it's finally just kind of come back down to earth. And I'm wondering if – I know he just missed the game, you know, yesterday, sore left knee, missed the game against the Knicks, I believe it was. Oh, no, it was Brogdon. He missed the following game. It just feels like I hope there's not going to be some lingering injuries that come with, you know, he had been off sideline for a year. Defensively, yes, Alex, has not been good. It's been pretty rough lately. But offensively, I don't know if you've taken a look at it. Lamb's taken a bit of a dive lately in his last six games, averaging 6.8 points per game on 31% shooting. The three-point shooting, which looked great, is now 3 of 16 from 3 in his last six games. It's not looking good on either side of the floor. So defensively, yes, it's been real rough. But now offensively, he's taken a solid dip.
No, he really has. Maybe it's just part of like coming back, like with the injury. Maybe he's still got some things lingering. Who knows?
I think so.
But I said it on Friday night's game. I said nothing personal, but I think that they really ought to trade him. So we looked at some different McDermott trade ideas, but I think that the guy that might be the more likely to be traded is Jeremy Lamb. So let's take a quick break and let's come back and talk a little bit about why we think he should be the guy that is moved if there is a move for the Pacers. All right, everybody, we're back. And Fauci, I mean, let's just talk about it before we get into trade ideas. Why do you think the team should trade Jeremy Lamb?
Well, here's the thing with Lamb. He's still appealing to teams. I mean, he's still like, you know, it's not that he's having a bad year by any means. He's a 6'5", you know, guy that could play the two, play the three. He's averaging basically 11 points per game. And if you want to go from a sheer numbers perspective, yeah, he's shooting just under 44% from three. The contract isn't bad at all. It expires next year at roughly $10.5 million. I mean, it's a very good amount where you don't need to make a blockbuster trade. But, you know, for the Pacers also, it depends what you're going to get back. I mean, maybe the Pacers could use it as flexibility for, you know, re-signing TJ Warren, or maybe you want to bring in someone who has a couple of years left on the deal, or maybe just, hey, kind of get a bigger push now. But Jeremy Lamb, I think he fits a lot of different teams. Just right now for the Pacers, they need a little bit more. They need more of a wing.
See, and when it comes to Jeremy Lamb, for me, I just don't really know what his value is amongst the league. I think it's lower than people probably would expect, just because what we're seeing, I'm sure these teams are seeing as well.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you're not going to get a game-changing player for him, more than likely, unless you attach stuff to it. And, you know, I really think when it comes down to it, if they don't trade him, you know, he's an expiring deal next year. If they try to make a move in the offseason to try to get somebody that's got a little bit more of a salary, you could attach him to, you know, one of the bigs or one of the wings if you decide to move on from one of the wings or something like that, or do a sign and trade, something like he's got enough of a salary where you could figure out a way to get that to work. But I think if you're looking at maybe wanting to re-sign McDermott and McConnell in the offseason, maybe you trade Lamb to a team that's got some expiring contracts. But it's we've got different ideas here, Fauci, so I'll let you kick it off. What's your first Jeremy Lamb trade idea?
All right. Now, I don't have these necessarily prioritized into this is the number one deal that I want, but I have about, you know, roughly 7 to 8 deals over here. So I think a couple of these could pan out. But what are your thoughts on the first deal? It's going to be Jeremy Lamb going to Portland for Derek Jones Jr. and your boy, Harry Giles. Now, if Portland wants, they can have their pick of Keelan Martin or Jalen McHugh. But Derek Jones, you're getting athleticism. You're getting someone who can also hit the three. You're getting someone who could defend. Pretty decent shot blocker. Harry Giles, not really sure, you know, exactly where he could fit in. But at the same point, you know, he's still young enough. I still think you can roll the dice there. And for Portland, I think this gives him an opportunity to, you know, continue to push forward.
Yeah, I think they hang the phone upon us, to be honest with you.
Good.
Yeah, I think Derek Jones Jr. is a good basketball player, and he's still a defensive presence there for Portland. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they've got the offense with Dame, and when CJ comes back, hopefully, and Nurkic, you know, once they get fully healthy, I'm not too worried about that team with the offensive side of things. I worry more about their defense, and I think Derek Jones Jr., well, I think he was a little bit overhyped as a pickup this offseason for Portland. I mean, when they were talking about him going to Portland, they were like, oh, they're going to be a 3 seed now. I was like, what are we talking about? Like, just because they got Derek Jones Jr., I was trying to figure out where all the Portland hype came from. I'm trying to think if they got anybody else. Oh, they got Robert Covington. Right. And I'm like, but still, I just didn't think they were going to leapfrog some of those upper echelon teams in the Western Conference. But I was just like, okay, like, cool, Rocco is a great player, but like, they still have some issues there. But yeah, I mean, when I look at that Portland team, like, maybe if you inserted Rodney Hood instead and did it like straight up, something like that, because I think Rodney Hood's got a similar salary to Jeremy Lamb's, that might be something that works. But yeah, I feel like Portland says no on that one, Fletch.
Yeah, I have no interest in Rodney Hood really right now. I think that at that point, you might be better off keeping Jeremy Lamb. But, yeah, hey, if Portland turns it down, that's fine. Derek Jones Jr. is a player that I would like to add to this team off the bench. I think he would be a good good, you know, depth guy that could, you know, give them quality minutes for a good 20 plus minutes a game, 20 to 25 if you can, you know, find it. But I understand if they don't do the deal, but what do you got?
Yeah, so my next three trades that I give to you are going to be more like basically trying to get off Lamb's salary for next year to get an expiring contract this year. So my first one, I'm going to go to Atlanta, and we're gonna look at acquiring Tony Snell, the man that just hit a big game winner. We're just going to do a straight-up trade, Jeremy Lamb to Atlanta for Tony Snell, and we're going to reunite Coach McMillan and Jeremy Lamb.
Okay, I do know in this situation, I want to say, because I looked at this trade, I believe Tony Snell makes about $2 million more.
But it works because of the trade exception for the Oladipo trade, so we're all good.
Right. So you got – so it's just Snell straight up for Lamb.
It's basically you're getting off that second year of Lamb to get Snell for the rest of this year, and then he's a free agent, which would give you more cap space to – reacquire McDermott and McConnell without going over the luxury tax.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not opposed to clearing some money because, like I said, I do want the Pacers to be able to re-sign TJ Warren without a doubt, and then also have some money left over. So it's not a bad idea. I think this year the Pacers probably could take a hit on that deal. Tony Snell is not going to be giving you much more offensively, but I think defensively you're getting a better defender. Yeah. So it's intriguing.
I think it's pretty equal value. I don't think either guy moves the needle, whatever. It's just – it's like kind of a boring trade. It's not my favorite out of the ones that I've got there, but it's one that I think is interesting. So, but not overly interesting. So what's your next one, Fletch?
So my next one, I can't get him out of my head. I think I need him back, man. It's like an ex-girlfriend that, you know, you still kind of think a little bit from time to time. That's George Hill, all right? Yeah. This is Jeremy Lamb and a second-round pick for George Hill. Now – George Hill's contract, like I mentioned, if it doesn't work out, it's super favorable because it's non-guaranteed. Only $1.2 million is guaranteed if he is not waived by June 30th. You're getting a better defender who can play, you know, point guard, shooting guard right over there, a guy that would want to be in Indiana, obviously, given his ties to Indiana. You know OKC wants to get at least a pick. I know you mentioned you think maybe they could buy him out. If they're going to buy him out, sure, that's one thing. But it also – gets Lamb's contract off the books if this doesn't work out. So for, you know, contract for contract wise, it works out. Second round pick, the Pacers have numerous of them. George Hill, you're getting a 3-and-D guard.
Yeah, it's interesting. I have a George Hill trade, but it's a three-team trade. I'll run it by you. I ran a similar one by Tony East last week. So if you guys heard that, I apologize. But I did some altering to it. So we got Jeremy Lamb and Aaron Holiday to Orlando, George Hill and Terrence Ross to Indiana, and then Doug McDermott to Oklahoma City. You know, I don't really think that – and maybe you throw in a second-round pick there with Doug just so they can, you know, have some reason to make the trade. But George obviously makes a lot of sense here with this team, and I think Terrence Ross does too based on who you're giving up. I think that the original trade that I had Aaron Holiday going to OKC with Michael Carter-Williams and McDermott and Lamb going to Orlando, but I think – that if they can hold on to MCW and then get a young player, Aaron Holiday, it might be, you know, worth the risk of letting Terrence Ross go. But at the same time, I don't really know if they still would do it Orlando because I know they're kind of being like particular in what they want. But I still think that if we could somehow get George Hill and Terrence Ross, that'd be nice.
If we can get George Hill and Terrence Ross, that's a really good deal for the Pacers. I mean, I would imagine on Trade Machine, that's got to have the Pacers, you know, increasing by quite a few wins, at least like three or four wins or something.
Probably not. I'll look. Go ahead.
You never know. But where you're at right there, I like it because I actually had a trade for Lamb and Aaron Holiday for Terrence Ross. And if we had to throw in a second round pick, I was still in. So basically, in your trade, we're including McDermott and still getting Terrence Ross and George Hill. So I like it. I just feel like the Pacers would not necessarily make such a big deal by trading Lamb, Aaron Holiday, and McDermott at this point. But make no mistake, if we can get Terrence Ross and or George Hill in a deal like that, I like it a lot.
Yeah, I'm almost there. I've almost got it pulled up here on Trade NBA. So I'm going to try it real quick. It says no change in projected wins for the Pacers. Plus six for the Magic and minus six for the Thunder.
Oh, that might have the Magic out on this because they do not want to win, clearly. I mean, they are it's going to be tough. I think that they are going to be sellers.
I don't think it's going to matter if they're losing Terrence Ross, who's been unbelievable, for Lamb and Holiday. I don't think that would make that big of a difference.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? And I think the Magic really kind of want to start this rebuild and get that top pick. So if they're looking to get off Terrence Ross, I think there's going to be a lot of callers, a lot of suitors. If we're able to work either my deal of Lamb and Aaron Holiday for Terrence Ross, if we have to throw in a second round pick, I like it. Your deal, it almost seems too good to be true. If we can get George Hill and Terrence Ross in the same deal, I mean, I'll sign on it right now.
Yeah, it sounds too good to be true. And then I'm going to go back to another trade here, Fauci. This is going to be between the Kings and the Pacers. And it's actually going to save the Pacers a couple million dollars here. But we're going to trade Jeremy Lamb straight up to the Kings for Nemanja Bjelica. Expiring contract, about $7.5 million. He's a stretch four. I think the Pacers could use another backup four just with that second unit. I know the defense wouldn't be good, but if you've seen Jeremy Lamb play this year, the defense has not been good anyway. He gives you some size, and I actually contacted Locked On Kings host. I believe his name is Matt George, if I'm remembering right. He came on our show last year. And, Matt George is his name. Is at Matt George Radio on Twitter. And he said that he does think that deal would get through and thought it made a lot of sense. So there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I've mentioned before on the show, I have a soft spot for Bjelica. I really do. So I looked at that trade at one point myself. I would be on board for that. While Bjelica is not shooting as good from three as he has in the past, he's still a very capable three-point shooter. I think he would be a real solid addition off the bench, you know, for the Pacers, giving them great depth at the four. Could also play the five, but I like him at the four. But I would do that deal. I mean, okay. you're setting Lamb's salary for next year. You're getting help now immediately. I think the Pacers could use more help at the backup four than, you know, Jeremy Lamb, where now you got LeVert coming back. You know, he could play the two. You want to get Edmund Sumner minutes at the two. Aaron Holiday can also play the two. It's like they have more depth at the two than they do the four.
Oh, yeah, and that's the thing. We need some people at that size, and I think that it could help us. And I know, like, he's not a guy that moves the needles. People are like, just be Bjelica. But I like the fact that he's an expiring as well.
Yeah.
And it really does.
I have been fed. That's a fact.
I have been fed. That's a fact.
My credit card purchases get me cash back.
My credit card purchases get me cash back.
No one else gets these rewards.
Sergeant, that is just plain untrue.
What in tarnation?
Sir, PenFed's PowerCash Rewards Card isn't just for military members. Anyone can get cash back on all purchases.
Ah, figgins! You've ruined my favorite song.
PenFed Credit Union. Visit PenFed.org/PowerCash. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.
Well, like I said, give you some extra money and some wiggle room there. So what's your next trade, Fudge?
And the last point on that, let's be honest. We've talked about it before. The Kings are not drawing free agents. So if they can have, you know, Jeremy Lamb under contract for next year, I feel like that's pretty decent for them, you know. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did that deal either. But my next deal, this is going to be Jeremy Lamb, and you get off that contract of Jalen McHugh for Will Barton. Now, I don't know if the Nuggets would do this deal, but I would.
No, they wouldn't do that.
I know. I don't think they would, but I would.
Yeah, I would too if I'm the Pacers.
Yeah, I know. I don't think they would do that deal, but that's something, man, I would just love to add Will Barton to that. So we'll just go over that deal. Every now and then, you know, I'm going to slip something in there and just see if they're not paying attention. All right, but
I think the Will Barton thing, though, it's just because his name was the name the Pacers were interested in. When they were going to go after – when they got Doug McDermott, it was Will Barton's name that was, you know, highly rumored for the Pacers or showing a lot of interest in him. So I think that's why that name is so like, that sounds really good. But to me, I don't know what it would take to get him, and I feel like he's much better than that package you gave him. Like, I think you have to attach a first because I think Jeremy Lamb's value is, like, probably close to – negative at this point.
I'm not gonna go that far. No,
he's been awful
in the last you know, little stretch.
Last month, he's not been good at all.
No, he hasn't. But I'm not gonna say that he's a negative. You know, they're not gonna do that deal. So that's fine. But my next trade over here, you know, Lamb and a second round pick, if not two second round picks, for Josh Richardson. I don't think they would do the first one, but if you do two second round picks, I would do it, and I would do it now.
Yeah, I see. I'm not sure. I'm trying to gauge the market on Josh Richardson. Somebody actually threw another trade idea at me out on Twitter. It was a Mavericks fan when I put up my Jeremy Lamb that we should trade him, and they said we'll give you Dwight Powell for him straight up. And so I was like, really? I was like, I thought Dwight Powell was pretty beloved by the Mavericks. And so I actually asked another Locked On host, Nick Engstead, who covers the Mavericks, and he said, if I were the Mavericks, I would do this trade because they could use his shooting, but the Mavericks love what Dwight Powell does for the community, so I don't see it happening. I asked about Richardson. He didn't get back with me yet, so I'm not sure what the value is, but Richardson is still starting, I believe. So it just – I think that it would be tough to get him. I think you might have to try to jump in on a three-team trade here. And if the Pelicans think that J.J. Redick is going to leave at the end of the season, maybe you get in a three-team deal there. You send Redick over to the Mavericks, Josh Richardson to Indiana, and then you give him Jeremy Lamb to the Pelicans. So there's a little bit of scoring there as far as what he does, because Richardson is not a scorer at all. No. And he's been pretty underwhelming for the Mavericks this year.
He has. That's why I think that if they can pick up 2 second-round picks and you're going to get Jeremy Lamb, yeah, it's really not that bad, because you got to think about it. They traded 2 first-round picks to the Knicks in that Porzingis deal. You know, they've made other moves. I think that if they have an opportunity to get, you know, some extra picks right over there, it's not a horrible deal by any means.
Yeah, it's not the worst deal for sure. Like, I think it's pretty decent value. I'm just trying, like I said, I can't really figure out. It's the biggest thing for me, and I've said this with some people I've talked to, trying to gauge how other markets view their teams. Like,
yeah,
I had no idea that Dwight Powell was that beloved by the franchise. Like, I knew that he was a guy they liked, but I didn't know, like, what he does off the court, you know, was that impactful to whether mm-hmm. they trade him or not. So that was an interesting one to me. I'll go to my next one here, Fauci, and I've got Jeremy Lamb and Jakarr Sampson going to the San Antonio Spurs for Rudy Gay. Rudy Gay is a little bit older. I think someone actually suggested this one on Twitter, so I want to make sure that I don't act like I'm the one that came up with this idea. But Rudy Gay is a name that I've talked with you about before. I know, making about $14 million this year. So those two contracts together would give you enough to, you know, insert that trade exception, I believe, if you needed to use it. But I think there's something weird with, like, how you can absorb so much money without being in the tax. So it works, but it has to be a certain percentage. I think that's how this trade could work. Obviously, Jakarr is not a guy that is getting a ton of minutes, and he's an expiring contract making about $1.8 million. You get Rudy Gay, I think he could play a little bit of small ball four. I think he would actually be impactful. And then you open up a roster spot as well in case there's a buyout candidate, a la George Hill maybe, and that'd be fun to see if you can maybe get in George Hill on this team as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, I love me a good mystery box, open roster spot. You know, that could be anybody. Rudy Gay, obviously, you know, that would be the push towards this year, because he's going to be a free agent after this year. He is older. You're probably not going to re-sign him, but at the end of the day, at least you get the Lamb contract off the books.
Yeah,
I think Rudy Gay brings more to the table at this point in his career of, like, being just a bigger body, you know, around 6'8". Better rebounder, better defender. So, and it's also a veteran right there. I mean, Rudy Gay's been around the block. I mean, this, like I've said before, this Pacers team could use more veterans. I think a trade like this, it's really not a bad deal at all. And to be honest, I think the Spurs probably go for it, because I don't think they're going to re-sign Rudy Gay at this point. And they are still a playoff team. I think Lamb keeps them in that hunt at that point if you are going to lose Rudy Gay. And, you know, you have a guy under contract for next year.
He could be good under Pop's system too, I think.
Very much.
Maybe the Bjorkman system with Lamb playing the small ball four is just a little bit, we're asking too much from him. I'm not sure. I think I have one more trade left, Fauci, that I haven't touched on. Maybe two here, but one of them I think you might have this one as well. It's a Cavs trade, and it's pretty basic. I've got Jeremy Lamb in a second round pick to the Cavs for Torian Prince.
Ah, I don't have that trade. I have a different trade. So, you know, Torian Prince is someone that I actually wanted about a year or two ago. Mm-hmm. I think that right now, I mean, I don't know what it is. I think that he's just not, you know, with Brooklyn, I feel like they didn't really need him. You sent him over to Cleveland. I don't think it's been that great. Obviously, I haven't not watching many Cavs games right now. It's pretty disgusting over there. But Torian Prince, actually, he does bring a bunch to the table. It's not a sexy trade by any means, but At the same point, I'm trying to remember if Prince has money left on his deal moving forward.
He's an expiring contract, so that was one of the main reasons I liked it so much.
Yeah, so in an expiring look, it's never bad if you're going to get money off the books. Does it move the needle for the Pacers this year? I really don't know.
I don't think it moves the needle, but I think that he's someone that could play the four a little bit better.
Of course he can. Yes, definitely.
Actually, he does have 2 years.
So that's I think that was what tipped the scale for me. I'm not in love with Torian Prince moving forward. If it's going to take the money off the books, then that's pretty decent.
Let me look here a little bit more. I get that you like Liam's offense, but you don't really need it once you have Warren and LeVert back. And I like that he's 6'7" and can play the small ball four and not feel like he'd be a liability, because Torian Prince, he's not a great defender, but he's a much better defender, which is not saying much, than Jeremy Lamb.
Yeah, no, he's not. And he's a decent 3-point shooter. He is. He's a pretty solid 3-point shooter. So, I mean, he can, you know, rebound decently. Look, it's not going to blow you away, but I think he probably is a bit more versatile in terms of what we would need. I want to say you said there's 2 more years left on Prince's deal, or is it 1 year?
Yeah, this year he makes it. The next year he makes $13 million next year for his final year in that contract, and he'll be 27 at that point. So I think that's the right age group for this team right here. I think that he seems like a good locker room guy. He's played on the same team with Caris LeVert, so that definitely could be interesting as well. But I think that also similar to the same thing I said with Lamb, if you attached him to another player, you could get a good amount of salary back, and it'd be an expiring contract that a team might be mm-hmm. interested in.
Yeah, I might rather go for an expiring route or that.
But I'm saying for 21-22 is what I'm saying, yeah, for the expiring route.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's not bad. Torian Prince at $13 million, I'm really not in love with, though. You know,
it's not that much different than Lamb's contract to me.
10 and a half. Yeah, I mean, you're talking an extra $2.5 million. I mean, the Pacers would have to make some cuts. You saw they were right at that tax line, basically, before. So,
yeah, but once they traded for LeVert and they got off Oladipo's money, I think there was like a $5 million difference there in contracts. So they were able to save all that money with, avoiding mm-hmm. the tax. So it just depends, and it just depends on if the Pacers are trying to win now or win later, because personally, you're going to add money if you, trade for a guy that's got more than 1 year on his contract. I don't think Lamb fits this roster personally. And mm-hmm. I think Torian Prince does a little bit more, but not to the point where I'm just like banging my head over, like, trying to get this deal done.
Yeah, exactly. For my next deal, this is going to be a little bit of a now and a little bit of a later move. It's going to be Jeremy Lamb, Keelan Martin, and possibly a second round pick, but we'll determine which one, for Alec Burks and Kevin Knox. Burks, expiring deal, good 3-point shooter. So, he's not going to help you out really on the defensive side of things. You're getting Kevin Knox, a young player that you could still hopefully develop into, being a good wing for next year. Keelan Martin, we're not going to use him this year. We're just not. The second round pick, we have a few of them. You lose Lamb, but I think, you're getting a player in Alec Burks that is very comparable on offense for the most part. I would say Lamb's a better offensive player, but the difference is you're getting a young player in Knox.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts here?
Yeah, I think that a lot of fans have thrown in some love for Kevin Knox. He's a guy that, he's got the size, size that you want to guard bigger wings. Like, he's kind of like trading for Torian Prince as like a project. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't want to pay the $13 million, then this is maybe the route you go. Obviously, New York has a little bit of cap space there, so you don't have to have salaries. I think they have like $18 to $20 million of free cap space. So sure, that makes some sense to me. I wouldn't be opposed to it.
You save money for next year too.
Yeah, and Alec Burks, like, that's a guy, like I talked about it last week a little bit. Like, it's the same names that we keep throwing out here for these trade ideas, just because it's hard to match up salaries plus value plus who's going to make a move. It doesn't feel like this move would be like a big risky move by New York and throw off their chemistry at all.
Mm-hmm.
It just gives them another score.
Yep.
I think the Pacers, like, how much do they value young talent? It's hard to tell based on how they play their guys. Like, Goga got 3 minutes last night. Aaron got 9, I believe it was, and Sumner got 12. So, it's a veteran-heavy team here. And I kind of like the idea of getting Kevin Knox and just maybe trying to see what kind of project
he could be. Like it for next year, you know?
Yeah, but at the same time, if you're bringing back most of your roster, he's just going to be like TJ Leaf and not being able to crack the rotation.
Potentially. Yeah, I mean, it would be tougher. You know what I mean? Like, no, I do. That's why it's rolling the dice to basically say, I think that our player development is better than yours in terms of the Knicks. And you save some money. So the Pacers would save, I want to say, between like $5 to $6 million on this deal. And you're getting someone that you could say, hey, look, basically this. If you're going to have an end-of-the-rotation guy, I would rather have Kevin Knox than like a Keelan Martin, basically. You're right. Talking about a former top 10 pick who has great size and has really good potential. But, you know, hey, let us be the ones to firmly decide if there's anything there or not.
No, I completely agree. So I guess my last trade that I have, Facci, it's very underwhelming, so I'm not saving my best for last because I kind of threw some of those out there, but it's Jeremy Lamb to Orlando once again for Al-Farouq Aminu, and you're going to save about $750,000 on this trade for this year and next year, so about
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
$5 million over the next 2 years. I don't think that's that big of a deal. I think that, once again, kind of similar to my point on Bielitsa and Torian Prince, I just think Aminu can play the small ball for a little bit better. I think defensively he's a little bit better. Offensively, I talked with Tony about this. You know, the shooting, it's not realistic from three. He's shooting 40% right now, but he's not shooting a ton. I saw him in those Portland series. He's got that playoff experience. To me, I value that. I don't think Orlando is really going to be making the playoffs. You know, they're looking to move off of Evan Fournier and guys like that if they can get something in return that they like. I don't necessarily think Fournier is a guy that we need, but I still think he'd be a good player off the bench. Just a lot of money. But Aminu saves you a little bit of money, and I think he can do a little bit more for this team fit-wise than what Jeremy Lamb can do.
Defensively, yeah, he's a better defender than Lamb, but offensively, it's gross. I mean, I'm looking at it right now.
He's just not a scorer. It's just he knows role. He's not trying. Yeah,
he's never
But I think that's fine. I don't need Jeremy Lamb scoring if I've got Warren and LeVert back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, we don't. But, I mean, for Al-Farouq Aminu to pay him that money next year, I don't know.
You're paying Lamb that money next year, and I don't think he's that – I don't think he's better than Aminu.
I don't know about that.
What are you talking about? Coming off that injury, he's not looked good. He looked good for 2 weeks. That's all we've seen out of Jeremy Lamb since returning from injury.
I mean, on the year, he's I don't think he's as bad as you think. He's still putting up 11 points per game, which is more than Al-Farouq Aminu has done at any point in his career. I mean, look, he's a guy that in the past, when healthy, was able to put up 15 a game. And he's never been an inefficient guy. I mean, he's a career 44-45% shooter, where Al-Farouq Aminu, I mean, he shot 29% last year from the field. 34% this year. I mean, we get it offensively. That's not his role, but I don't think that if you're going to be paying him, $10 million plus for next year, it's not great.
I don't think it's necessarily great, Fotch. I'm just
no, it's
I'm trying to I'm just laughing because I'm looking at these box score numbers from Jeremy Lamb, and he had a lot of negative games here.
Oh yeah. I mean, his last six games he's been rough.
Like, this is his shooting numbers over the last couple of games. 0 of 3, 1 of 9, 4 of 7, 3 of 8, 2 of 7, 2 of 4, 6 of 14, 5 of 8. That was a good game against Chicago that he had. 2 of 5, and then he had a great game against Detroit shooting 6 of 7. But it's just he's just been too inconsistent. And I go back and look, like the point numbers aren't that great. 2, 4, 11, 8, 7, 9. Like that's the last five games, six games.
No, I went through the last six. It's rough. I mean, he definitely has fallen off of a cliff on the last six games. But, you know, still on the year, it's not as bad as what I think it's being made out to be. Alfred Camino, I don't think you're ever going to get, you know, 10 points from really.
But I don't want 10 points. I want defense. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I don't need the points if I've got McDermott and I've got Aaron Holiday and Justin Holiday and McConnell off the bench. I don't need his points.
Yeah, but how many minutes then is Al Farouq Aminu going to be able to log for the Pacers?
I mean, maybe 12 to 15 a game. I mean, your rotation is shortened up anyway. Like if Jeremy Lamb's not even in the rotation at playoff time because of his defensive liabilities, then who cares if you've got Aminu or not? You're saving money at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I would be surprised if Lamb just completely falls out of the rotation in general.
I don't think he will just because – here's what I'll say. Like, the defense to Jeremy Lamb is kind of a defense that I can say based on the bench unit. They don't have a guy that can just go get a bucket.
I agree.
And Jeremy Lamb is probably the only guy that can go out there and get his own bucket. We've seen him make – you know, beauty out of a mess. I've seen him hit some of the like craziest shots. It's almost like he is a better scorer when it's like a broken play and he has to make a shot. That's just kind of his game. I mean, there's obviously some offensive things that he did really, really well. But if he gets into like a major shooting slump here, whenever that might be, whether it's with this knee injury or what's going on, he could be out for a while. I mean, I'm just saying like, production wise, like his minutes might keep him out. I mean, his production might keep him out of the rotation for a while. I don't necessarily think he's bad, and maybe I'm underselling. Maybe that's why you're getting a little bit of pushback. I'm getting more pushback from you because you think I'm underselling him. But I think you probably are overselling him a little bit. So maybe we need to come to the middle a little bit right here because some of the guys you're throwing out in trade ideas for him are unrealistic.
No, I agree.
Well, then why are you throwing them out if you don't think they really would happen?
Every now and then. But I mean, look, not all of your trades are perfect also. Look,
I didn't say they were. I'm just saying a lot of yours, you're throwing out guys like Will Barton.
Will Barton one was bad. The other ones were more realistic.
I'm surprised I didn't get a Seth Curry one.
No, I feel like you're trying to give away Jeremy Lamb like he's stale milk. We got spoiled by Jeremy Lamb playing as well as he did right away. It was ridiculous. The guy was dropping, you know, having some games where he's scoring 20 points fresh off, you know, coming back from being out a year. If he started playing like this in the beginning and then moved his way up towards where he was actually playing when he first came back, we would be like, oh, wow. I think he came back, played too well, and then now this is probably a bit more realistic of what it's like to come off an ACL tear and miss a year. And there's going to be these games. I think that we don't need him to put up 18 like before or 17, 20 points, whatever it is. But if you can just steadily give us, you know, 10 to 15 points and not be a horrible defender by any means, it would go a good way. Al Farouq Aminu, is he going to be a great defender? I think he'll be a good defender, but he's going to be an atrocious offensive player.
Yeah, well, I remember one time the Pacers traded Detlef Schrempf for Derek McKee after Schrempf won Sixth Man of the Year, but it was that defense that was needed. It wasn't even McKee scoring. It was the defense that was needed. I'm not even going that far to say like it's that drastic, but I think that sometimes you just have to look at fit and roster and what makes the most sense, and maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I'm not trying to argue just about Aminu. I'm just talking in general here, but I think when it comes to Lamb, your milk analogy makes a ton of sense because – yeah, he was good for a few weeks, but once you open a gallon of milk or you buy a gallon of milk, it only lasts for a couple of weeks before it goes bad. It gets spoiled, and then you have to get rid of it and go buy a new gallon of milk. And I'm not trying to sit here and say that, you know, he's a gallon of milk, but it's what it feels like his play's been. It was really good for that little short period of time by the sell-by date. Boom, it got bad, and it was time to move on from it. And I think that's what the Pacers should do here.
Oh, yeah. It has gotten a bit stale. I'll definitely give you that. I got two last trades.
Throw them at me real quick.
One of them is probably not going to happen. All right. So
shocker.
I'll go with this trade more. What do you think? Jeremy Lamb and Keelan Martin, potentially a second round pick for Larry Nance Jr.
That ain't happening. They ain't getting rid of Nance for that.
Probably not, but
you'd have to probably do Lamb in a first round pick.
Yeah, I'm out on that.
That's the same thing with Thad Young. Because the Bulls are starting Thad Young now. I saw that.
They're
going to start Thomas Satoransky as well. So they're all about winning. So, I mean, I think any realistic, like, Thad Young trades out the window. Like, unless you traded, like, Lamb, Aaron Holiday, and then, like, a pick plus, like, a pick swap or something stupid like that. Yeah, but the last time we traded a first-round pick for Thad Young, look what happened to us.
We're definitely not gonna, you know, have history repeat itself and trade another first for Thad at this point. The one trade that I did have for Thad, and I don't think they're gonna do it either. It was Lamb, Aaron Holiday, and a second round pick for Thad Young and Chandler Hutchinson, who's just fell completely out of their rotation. Really, Hutchinson still a first round pick. Thad Young, I would love to get my hands on. I really would. Aaron Holiday, I think it gives them someone young moving forward, and you're also still getting, you know, Lamb and Holiday that can help right now for the Bulls, but it seems like their asking price for Thad Young is just too much and that this deal is not going to get it done.
Well, you got to think, it's not just the Pacers competing for him. It's the other
teams. It's a lot of teams.
A lot of teams want him. You're probably talking at least 20 teams that would take him, and he's at a very obtainable contract that you can match salaries with most of your roster. You know, try to figure out something. I think that a trade – that we didn't really throw out there because we don't think he's trading or going to be traded, but that's Goga Batadze.
Yeah.
And they have Wendell Carter Jr. as their center, but they've not been impressed. I think that Chicago could be a little bit intrigued by Goga. And maybe if you threw Goga in there instead of Lamb or instead of Aaron, that might be more enticing to them just to get a young asset at center, a guy that's actually able to block shots and, you know, he's definitely a work in progress. That's obviously why he's not in the Pacers rotation. But, you know, I think that could be a decent package just because of how young he is and what you're getting. But I don't think Indiana's ready to move on from Goga anytime soon. So that's why I just feel like that Thad Young package, I'm just ruling it out because I don't want to get my heart broken. I think the only realistic Pacer to bring back here is George Hill.
I know. And if it comes down to that, I'm still fine with it. I would love to – I think everybody would love to get Thad Young back. But it just feels like if the Bulls are going to trade Thad Young, it's going to be for – it's going to at least involve a first-round pick. And I don't want the Pacers to attach one here when you're only really looking at getting a year and a half of Thad Young. And that's probably about it.
Yeah, I think if you had to pick one of your favorite trade idea that you came up with that's actually realistic, what would you say your number one is?
Probably the deal for George Hill. Jeremy Lamb and a second round pick for George Hill, or Aaron Holiday and Jeremy Lamb for Terrence Ross.
Okay, so I am going to say that as much as I love George Hill, I don't think the Pacers need help at that position as much as they need the four spot. So I personally think the one that I would go with because of the money situation is Jeremy Lamb to the Kings for Bielitsa. I think that one's probably my favorite just based on what this team needs and what, you know, the contract situation. But I won't lie, the more I look at it, I'm talking myself into the Spurs one to get Rudy Gay. I think that Rudy Gay is still impactful, and I think that he could be a benefit to this team off the bench. So I like that idea as well, Foch. One of those two makes the most sense because we need a four at this point.
No, I completely agree. We do. That's more of a bigger need than getting another two guard, because if you bring in George Hill, then at that point, Sumner's probably not going to really be playing much. I mean, you would just imagine.
Aaron's out of the rotation.
It would eat into Aaron's minutes. So it's like two guard is not the biggest need, especially not, you know, another backup point guard when you have McConnell playing well and you have Brogdon and, you know. So, yeah, the Bielitsa, I think I would like that move. Rudy Gay, I'd like it too. They both seem good deals that don't bring back money for next year. So, at the worst, that's a positive.
Yeah, and the thing, like, with the one we talked about where I did the three-team trade, like, obviously getting George Hill, Terrence Ross, like the guys you mentioned, are guys that I would really like, but I think one's more of a wing and one's more of a guard, but I'm getting rid of two wings and a guard to get them. So I think that if you're getting rid of those guys, you're bringing in guys to replace them in the rotation. But if you're basically getting rid of Lamb for George Hill, you know, George Hill's not big enough to be a wing, so no. Now, you know, you can't play small ball four with him, so you're looking at putting McDermott down there, obviously. I think that a backcourt of George Hill and McConnell off the bench would be fun with a team like McDermott, Sabonis, and Justin Holiday once fully healthy. But big picture here, George Hill's in his 30s, and Aaron Holiday and Edmund Sumner are hopefully parts of your future. And I think that the experience is nice and everything, but I would almost be more intrigued to, you know, this is going to sound bad if I say this. I don't know if I should say it or not, but it's like if you're not sure about McConnell, then I think maybe let George be the backup point guard if you move on from McConnell. But I just think McConnell's been too important to this team and their regular season success to really move on from him right now. So I really just think Jeremy Lamb is the only guy that's tradable at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Look, we wanted to obviously have the focus be on Lamb, so try to make him the centerpiece of each deal. But the thing is, it's just, you know, it's the Pacers are in such a tough spot because they're not at that, you know, 4, 5, 6 seed like they were before. You know, so most of these deals are to try and make that push towards winning this year, but a week from now, if things aren't going well, then all of a sudden, yeah, we are going in a different direction on most of these trades.
Yeah, and if LeVert doesn't come back as soon as – I mean, if LeVert came back like a week later, I think we'd be much more sour on the evaluation of these players. But I think Aaron's been really good since coming back from the All-Star break. I think Sumner – really, I really think this is what it is. Sumner being put into the rotation and playing more minutes than him is challenging him. And I think sometimes competition is good for a player to see that player is getting their minutes that they lost. You lost these minutes, earn them back. And, you know, maybe he's lost them for good because Sumner continues to play well. But, you know, I don't think Sumner has been that, you know, overwhelming the last couple of games. I've actually thought Aaron's been better than Sumner the last two games from what I saw. But I think that's the route that you have to go is like, hey, you know, you got a guy and Evan Sumner that's really – pushing to get some minutes. And if you don't figure it out, you know, you're going to be riding the pine and you're not going to be able to get a chance to get past, you know, him in the rotation and you could be the odd man out.
Yeah, very, very well could be. I mean, you still want to be able to get those two guys a lot of reps, as much reps as you can. It's really hard when you're only playing some of them, you know, 8-9 minutes, because then it feels like it comes down to, did you make that last shot or not? And that kind of defines if you had a good game or not. And I think that's still a little tough. Like Aaron Holiday, for instance, last night, 9 minutes, you know, he was 2 of 4 shooting. If he goes 1 of 4, then it's like, but it just feels like you got to find a way to be able to get these guys a few more minutes. With LeVert coming back, and then you throw Jeremy Lamb in there, I don't think any of those guys are going to be getting more minutes.
No, and once you get TJ back, this rotation is going to be tight. That I mean, eight-man rotation come playoff time in the middle of May. We got 2 months from now. But if they're really wanting to be in that, you know, rotation for playoff time, it's going to be tough to come by. And whether or not you think Lamb deserves it or not, he's definitely got the years of experience on him. And he's got the size on him, because I think both those guys are a little bit undersized. Doesn't mean that they should get minutes over them just because, you know, I mean, Lamb shouldn't get minutes over them just because he's got the size and
no, not at all.
And the experience, but that does play a little bit of impact in it. And I think Lamb was someone that I talked about a lot that the Pacers missed last year in the playoffs, but I just think that injury is holding him back a little bit. Coming back from it, like you said, Fauci, it was great at first, and then it's just taken a little bit of a dip. I think a lot of it just because expectations probably were too high because of how great he played.
I think so. He really did spoil us early on. I mean, if he was doing this in the beginning, I really wouldn't have batted an eye. Probably would have been the excuse, the crutch, whatever. He's coming off an ACL. Now he played so well that now we're expecting better play, and lately just flat out have not gotten it.
Yeah, so, all right, everybody, that wraps it up for our show today. Hope you guys enjoyed the Jeremy trade talk and the return and the debut of Caris LeVert after the incredible story of him overcoming what he had to go through. Just incredible. So, Facci, where can the people find us at?
You can find us on Twitter at SettingThePace3. You can find my co-host Alex on Twitter at AlexGoldenNBA. I'm on Twitter at _FACCI. Find us on Instagram at PacersTalk.
And at the end of the day, when the Pacers are playing, there's only three words that you can scream from your living room couch.
Let's go, Pacers!